Well, today I'm going to be talking about the abundant life. It's the next installment of studies in the master outline of the scriptures. And to understand the abundant life, I need to talk a little bit about what that abundant life is. So if you would, open your Bibles to the book of John, and we're going to look at John 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. From the 10th verse, we read these words. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I'm going to read that very same ending portion from the King James, which is a better translation of these words. It says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay? Now, why is that so important? Well, many of us as Christians walk around and we claim that we have life. We have received the first portion of this statement. I am come that they what? Might have life. In other words, we have to make a choice, right? It's not something that's simply given to everybody. We have to accept it, all right? It's there for anyone and everyone to accept. God's gift of salvation is complete unto the world, capable of saving every human being that ever is, was, or will be. But we have to accept it. That's the might in that word, all right? And there's also the might that God is able to give us because He is mighty to save. Okay, but there's an and in there, and this is kind of cool because when you study the Bible, you often find that the word and is added, okay, because it's easier for us to add some of these little words that make the sentences flow, because in your ancient texts, a lot of times, they didn't use those words, all right? They were simply missing. Well, not all the time, okay? We need to understand that sometimes those words were actually there. And this and is very important because, again, it's a second choice. All right? Many people go to the cross of Jesus Christ. We become Christians because we go to the cross. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But there's an and here. And that's where God is saying to us, don't stop here. There's more to come. All right? Don't stop here. There's more to come. Because everyone who calls on the Lord has life, but not everyone who believes has abundant life. Why? We all have life in Jesus Christ when we come to salvation. Why don't we have abundant life? How many of us out there live our lives kind of wondering why things aren't perfect? Why things are constantly coming against us? Why? We live in the why. And God says, because there's another choice that you need to make. And that they might have life abundantly. So in other words, we need to choose that second portion as well. Okay? Because when we come to the cross, we come to salvation. But Paul says, I live in such a manner as that somehow I may attain to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever given thought to those words? That I live my life that I somehow may attain to the resurrection. What's so important about that? I went to the cross with Jesus. He saved me. What more do I need? We need the power of the resurrection in our lives. Because the power of the cross is the power of salvation. The power of the resurrection is the power of life. Because we can go to the cross and you're dead. You may be saved because your sins have been forgiven, but you will live a dead life if that's where you stay. But Jesus didn't stay on the cross, did he? Jesus didn't stay in the grave, did he? Jesus came up again through the power of God to live a life more abundantly. And he is our model. He is our guide. And each of us are to live that same way. We are to live the life of resurrection. Hence, we go into baptism. Because in baptism, we come to the cross, we go down in the water in death, and if I held you down there, you'd die, right? But Pastor doesn't do that, does he? We yank you back up in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? So that you may go forth to live a new life in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To live the abundant life. So why is it that when I put you folks down there, and yank you back up out, many of you stay down there. You're all wet. We got to get up here and dry off and get about the living. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about here today, because that's what God wants from us. God wants His children to choose not just life, but abundant life. We need an abundant source, if we're going to live an abundant life, right? How can we live abundantly unless we have a source to give us that abundance? Well, who is that source? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of God. Okay? Now remember, when He walked here on earth, the fullness of God dwelt in Him. Okay? What do you think He was when He was resurrected? He was the fullness of God, okay? The fullness of God dwelt in Him as a human, but when He was resurrected to new life, He was and is God, the fullness thereof, because He went back and received His glory back unto Himself, and that's what He's coming with when He comes again. And I've been teaching you that God is constantly coming, right? It's always Advent, because God is coming every moment of our lives. He is coming into our lives. Are we going to receive Him? Are we going to choose to live that abundant life? Are we going to choose to receive God? Or are we going to allow our circumstances of life to hold us down? You see, that's what it is to live life. You can be saved and live life, but circumstances are going to control you. Circumstances are going to control me, if that's the way I live. I want you to think about it this way. How many of you remember the movie It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey, right? Okay. Jimmy Stewart plays Jim Bailey or George Bailey. And it's my favorite movie of all time. And you all might think I'm nuts. But it is, because that movie is truly one of the most amazing movies that was ever made. Because it reflects our life in Christ, if we'll allow it, all right? And that's what I got out of it, because I watched that movie as a kid. I mean, that's how old it is. I'm 52, and I know the people out there who are listening to us on the internet right now are probably wondering, Google it. You'll find it, watch it, you'll love it, because it really does portray a Christian life. Here's George Bailey running the savings and loan, right? All the problems, all the troubles of all these people that he's trying to help are falling on him. Woe is me. My life's a mess. Oh, my goodness. I'd be better off if I was dead. So he tries to jump off a bridge. But God enters in and sends an angel, right? He meets the miraculous. He meets the miraculous, and he's given an opportunity to see what life would be like without him. And it's so amazing, because he begins to find out that, wow, this life he lived that he thought was such a pain, that he thought was such a waste, that he thought was so worthless, all of a sudden he begins to see how that life that he lived, the little things that he did, changed other lives. And at the end, he says it is a wonderful life because he realizes how God has used him to touch others and that the life he was going to throw away was an abundant life, a life filled with change. And that's because God was transforming his heart. But George's eyes had to be opened up, right? He had to be able to see it. Well, I want you to see it today. I want you to understand that we cannot live at the cross. We have got to move into the resurrection. We have got to meet the miraculous and take hold of it with both hands and don't let go. You remember the woman who had the bleeding issue? She said, "If I touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." Jesus says, "Take a hold of my cloak and don't let go. In fact, put it on." Isn't that what he tells us? "For we are the righteousness of God. For we have taken onto ourselves the blood of Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his eternal nature. And now, not only is he on us, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, he" what? "He dwells in us." And it's so amazing because we need to understand that carnal Christianity will not do. It leads to defeat. It leads to self-doubt. It leads to death of the self. All right? And by that, I simply mean you live a defeated life. There are so many Christians out there who are saved, okay? I used to be one of them. You know, God asked me to commit my life unto him, and I said, "Whoa," when he showed me what that meant. "Whoa, I'm saved. That's all I need. I don't need to live in resurrection power. I can stay at the cross," right? "At the foot of the cross, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you." Yeah, but God don't want you to stay there. He's going to kick you out. Get out there into the world and start living that resurrection life. If you're going to stay at the cross, you're going to be a very sorry and lonely person. We need to understand God has more in store for us. And we don't need to be perfect. Heavens knows you're not. I'm not. And I never will be in this life. But when I receive new life, I can be renewed. Hence, part of the name of our church, the Heart of Christ Church, to be transformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. To be what? Transformed. We need to realize that that transformation is real and it's meant for every Christian. God doesn't want us just to simply receive one gift. He wants us to receive all of them. He gives good gifts. I mean, how many of you, if you got a gift from God, wouldn't unpack it to its fullest extent? Raise your hand because all of you are guilty of it. We don't. Because the world and Satan has taught us lies and we believe it. "Oh, well, this is just the way it's going to be." We heard about it today in our Bible study. "Well, that's human nature." No, it's not. That's sin nature. Human nature is God. And that's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be as human as he is. And he's perfect. He's full of life and vitality, grace and goodness, love and mercy. Yes, there is discipline. Yes, there is death. But that only for a time. And in that time, it'll be thrown away, and then there's life forever. And we need to understand that his humanity, his love, his grace, his compassion is buried inside of you. Each and every one of you has the capacity to live as Christ in the world. I want you to say that with me. I have the capacity, say that. I have the capacity to live as Christ to the world. That's a reality. That's not just a neat saying. Because if God is in you, you need to let him out. It's like getting that Christmas gift and saying, "Oh, that's nice." You know, when I was up the mountains, Tom, you remember? The box laid there in front of me, and I opened the box, but what did I do with the gun? I left it lay there, didn't I? I just sat there looking at it and bawling like a little kid. And the guys said to me, "Pastor, it's okay, you can pick it up and take it out of the box." because I was so overwhelmed with what I had received and I felt unworthy of it, I didn't want to pick it up. I didn't want to accept the reality that you people loved me that much, that you cared about your pastor that much, that you would give such a thing. And that's the same thing God does. He gives us such a gift that we all sit there and look at it and say, oh, I'm not worthy of it. And Satan says, yeah, don't you touch that. You aren't worthy of it. Don't you touch that. And God says, what is wrong with you, kid? Pick it up. It's yours. Use it. We need to understand that the abundant life is there for us, but we need to get involved. We need to have that George Bailey moment when God sends the miraculous into our lives, and then we begin realizing that we truly are blessed and that we can have that abundance now, and nothing can hold us down, not sickness, not disease, nothing. Paul says, I have learned what it is to be in need and to be fulfilled. I have learned to be in want, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, I have become content in all things. Why? Because Paul began to understand the reality of an abundant life. We're going to have all this stuff in an abundant life, but we're going to overcome it. Why? What did Jesus say to us? Oh, this is so wonderful. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And if He is in you, then that overcoming is in you, and nothing in this world can hold you down. Nothing. Unless you give it that power. And how many of us are walking around giving sin, Satan, circumstances all the power? When God's given it to us. Again, it's the evil one in the garden spewing lies. And we need to realize God is whispering to us ever so gently, ever so gingerly, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and anyone who comes unto me shall receive it, right? For no one comes to the Father except through the Son. So we've got to pick it up. Well, today, we're going to begin our series on that abundant life and some of the things that we need to do to actually receive it. Because, again, we've been taught a way that says, well, you know, this stuff just kind of happens and there's nothing we can do about it. Yes, there is. And we need to start doing it. I find that there's no better way to start this year, because this is amazing. Miss Sally and I don't put this stuff together. God started us on this series, this Sunday, for this very purpose. And I couldn't believe it, because we're over here in Sunday school and we're talking about this stuff. And I'm like, really, God? And He's like, yeah, what's wrong with you? Don't you believe this stuff? I was just telling you about the abundant life. Aren't you going to live it? Oh, okay, it's that simple, isn't it? Yes, it is that simple. We like to make it difficult because we like to think we're in control. How many of you here think you're in control? Don't you dare lie. You betcha. You're all smiling at me and, yeah, we will. You and I have about as much control over this ball spinning in space as a moth does to create a hurricane. All right? We are not in control, but we know who is, and He has given us the ability to access that power in our lives today for this life we live. Because God says, don't run after the it. Don't run after the things. Don't run after all this stuff thinking that's the abundance. God says what to us? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Why do we get it backwards? Why do we want all the stuff first, and then when it doesn't come, we go to God? Well, that's human nature. No, it's not! Because God thinks about us first. We need to think about God first. That's true humanity. Thinking about God and others, and then these things shall be added unto us. Do you understand that? That's what it means. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. To seek God's kingdom and His righteousness means you're going to seek after Him in such a way that you're going to go out there to win the lost. That you're going to actually step up and speak the words that need to be spoken. And it was so amazing because I even had that conversation with Brother Steve this morning. Well, my wife asked me, you know, have you gotten to talk to this guy about God? Oh, no, not yet. The circumstances haven't come up. The what, Steve? The circumstances haven't come up. Guess what God did? He created the circumstance. The very next day. God is so cool. Do we have eyes to see, ears to hear? God, I pray we do. Because it's so amazing. He's right there. Wanting us to have that abundant life. Wanting us to understand the depth, the breadth, the width, the height of His love, mercy, grace, understanding, compassion, and ability to do and be so much in our lives and the lives of everyone around us. So today, we're going to look at the very first one. And the very first one is very simple. It says the abundant life, if we want to live the abundant life, we must live a yielded life. Okay? How many of us like to yield? I'll tell you right now, I drive the expressways and the turnpike. Nobody likes to yield. I have the right of way. Really? I think God has the right of way. And we need to yield unto Him. And when we do, because He is in us, He gives us the right of way. He gives us the right way. And in that we find abundance. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans in the 6th chapter. For the first portion of our study here in the abundant life. Romans in the 6th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 10. And we're going to read through 13. Romans in the 6th chapter. Beginning in verse 10 and continuing to verse 13. From the 10th verse, the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, we read these words. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. In this scripture, we read the very things that I was just talking about. Okay? Pastor doesn't make this stuff up. It's too fantabulous. Okay? God's word is so real and so right. He tells us everything word for word. He says that the death he died to sin once for all. Right? That's the cross. That's the cross. And that's where we all come to get salvation. Am I right, Mitch? That's where we come to get salvation. But then he says, the life he lives unto himself. What? Actually, I love that because I knew when I made that up, you were all going to say, wait a minute. He is God, so yeah, you can say that, Pastor. That's exactly right, because He lives that life unto God, which is Himself, all right, when we look at it in the reality of it. He's the only one who can do that. We can't. If we want the abundant life, if we want the resurrection life, we have to do exactly what the Scripture says. We need to live our life unto God. He can live His life unto Himself because He is God, and He's the only one in the universe. He's the only one in all of everything created and uncreated that can make that statement. We can't. If we want the abundant life, we have got to go to the cross, but then we have to leave the cross and go to Him and live the resurrected life. because in that we will find the abundance that God has for us. Keeping your finger there, turn to Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Colossians. Colossians. Chapter 3. I love this word. This word is just, it empowers me. This word just sets my soul afire. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Get your mind off of the things of this world. Get your mind out of the it, as we were talking in discipleship class this morning. I'm sorry, I said Sunday school earlier, didn't I, Miss Dottie? Yeah, I did. In discipleship class, we were talking about the it, because the it is all the things out there in the world, all the things that we chase after. And this scripture tells us, get your minds off of the it, which is idolatry, and get your mind and your heart focused on Jesus Christ, on God our Savior, and the reality that the power He has is ours. We need to begin to live that life of righteousness. Because many of us believe and know that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? Because when we go to the cross, we are given the salvation of Jesus Christ. We are given the covering of God. That we are made the righteousness of God. However, it's another thing to understand and realize that His righteous life is in you. What does that mean? What does that mean? That simply means this. You have within you the full ability to live the abundant life because God's righteousness is in you. His fullness is in you. His power is in you. His being is in you. And if you will access Him, all right, if you will access that power, that strength, nothing that comes at you will be able to hold you down. Now, does that mean that we're not going to have troubles and strife and struggle in this world? No, absolutely not. This world is a teaching grounds. This is school, okay? This is humanity's 101. Because we're truly learning what it means to really be human. We're learning what it means to be God-centered. Because once eternity rolls around, you and I, who are in Christ Jesus, will be given that ability to rule and reign with Him over this earth for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, then all eternity rolls in. For this world will be no more as it is now, but it will be forever changed, and we will be with God forever. I want you to think about that. We can live some of that right now because He is in us. That righteousness is in you. How many of us access it? Okay? When that guy pulls out in front of you, when it says yield, okay, and he thinks it means you, how many of us allow the righteousness of Jesus Christ to come out, or how many of us hit the horn? Rank! Fire, what have you done? It's funny because that's where I used to be. And sometimes still am because I get caught up in my sin nature too. Right? But more often now, when that kind of stuff happens, I pray immediately. Oh, Lord God, keep us safe. As I back off and hit the brake and try to keep us from having an accident. I don't chasten that person. I literally pray for them. Because they need peace, don't they? They need understanding, don't they? They need compassion, don't they? They need to get the I out of their lives and get with the real program. The program that says it's a whole lot more than we could ever think or hope or dream. One of the things I want you to understand that is when we live this yielded life, when we begin to understand who God is and what He wants for us, the life that we begin to live is a life filled with spiritual depth. It's a life knowing the heart of Jesus Christ. It's a life knowing that the things we see and comprehend are because God is showing us something different, okay? The things that we hear are meant for us to hear for a different reason. They're not meant for us to be critical, but they're meant for us to hear the cries of our world and to know how these things break the heart of God and that we should be praying for them and asking God to intervene in the lives of so many others. Because you see, we are truly the eyes, the ears, the hands, and the feet of Jesus Christ. Because He resides in us. And He wants us to yield up our senses unto Him. To yield our lives up to Him. Okay? This is your spiritual act of worship. How many of you know that scripture? That we would live as living sacrifices unto God. Okay? Through the renewing of our minds, the transforming of our lives. Because in that we will get to begin to live the abundant life, understanding the depth, the breadth, the height, and the width of God's love, power, grace, and mercy. And no matter what comes at you in life, yeah, you may momentarily have a pity party. But if you turn to Christ, you're going to come out of that pity party asking, okay, Lord, what am I to learn from this? Okay, Lord, where's this going to take me? And then it's not going to hold you, and you're going to go beyond it. There are so many young people in our world right now, and I want you all to think about this. How many young people out there in our world right now? And when I say young people, I'm 52. If you're 51, you're a young people. Who are struggling daily just to understand what life is all about. Now, old people, if you're 53, you're old people. I'm middle-aged. Do you like that? We deal with the same things on a different parameter, okay? But I want you to think about just where we are in life. All of us have our struggles. All of us have this stuff that comes at us. But God says, I'm right here. I'm in you. Would you please let me out? Would you understand that I have overcome the world? And in this, you're going to overcome it too. Don't let this stuff beat you up. I'm going to pick on somebody right now, and she's not here, and it's the only reason I'm going to pick on her, all right? And no, it's not my wife. I love this woman with all my heart, and my heart aches for her every time I see her and in every remembrance of her. Miss Kathy. Miss Kathy has a horrible disease, and we all know it. And we see it deteriorating her body. She sees it too. But one of the most amazing things is when I talk to that dear saint, she makes me smile. She makes me think, wow. Wow, Rich, this woman knows God. She doesn't have a worry. She knows where she's going is safe and secure. She knows that when she comes into somebody and they feel sorry for her, she needs to lift them up. Who needs lifted up? We all think because of human nature, she needs lifted up. She's found human nature, and she knows she needs to lift us up. And to me, that's one of the most miraculous aspects of living the abundant life, is whatever lot is brought your way, you accept it, you walk in it, and you thrive in it, and you understand that this is not the end, that there is more yet to come, okay? It's like the lady that died and they put a fork in her hand, right? The best is yet to come. There's people out there on the internet wondering what that's about. Google it. The best is yet to come. And you and I need to understand that that best is yet to come in us when we begin to yield to that Spirit of God, when we begin to allow God to work in us and to be formulated in us in such a way that we begin to live that life of a changed mind, a changed heart, a changed being that says, this world will not hold me down. And back in Romans, we look at the word again. It says to us here in the reality of all that we are and all that we're ever going to be, that we are to offer our parts of our bodies not to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather to offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and life abundantly. We need to yield to Him. We need to offer ourselves to Him. He needs to be our first and foremost thought. Not the things of this world, not the things that we want. Because if we don't want God, all we are doing is living an idolatrous life. We are living void of God. Do you understand that, people? But I want a good education. I want a good paying job. I want a husband who will pay my way and I never have to work again in my life. Now, of course, that's not me. I'm a guy. I wouldn't want a husband. We all want. And as soon as we want, we're stuck in idolatry when we want anything other than God. What does the 23rd Psalm say to us? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall want everything. No, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what does He give us? Green pastures and still waters. That's not good enough, is it? We want the big house and the big parking lot and the boat at the bay. Wait a minute. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to have two women chasing after me all of my life. I'll never forget when I heard that story. It just made me laugh. Joy and mercy. We need to understand God is going to bring into our lives the things of His choosing. Now, I got to ask you something. Do you want what you want, or do you want what God wants you to have? Because I really want you to think about that. Because God says, choose me, and I'll give you everything. But guess what? You don't get it all right now. And we don't want that, do we? We want the things we want when? And because of that, we miss the abundant life. We miss the whole purpose why we're here. We miss the joy, the love, the grace, the mercy of God in its fullness. But when we yield ourselves up to God, He gives us all things. Folks, I hope you understand. This is just the first of five. There are five things that we need to do in order to live the abundant life. And the very first one is to live a yielded life. So today I want you to reckon to yourself and to make the choice. Do you want life at the cross, which leads to defeat because that's where you stay, constantly wrestling with sin, constantly putting Christ down? Or do you want to live the abundant life where we live in the resurrection power? Do you want circumstance-driven life or spirit-driven life? Do you want struggle and defeat, or do you want struggle and victory over life? God wants to lift us above our circumstance and give us victory over life. That is the abundant life. Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and He is in you. And if you let Him out, you too can overcome the world. Would you pray with me this day? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the love that you have given us and for the hope that is poured out through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father God, we ask that as we go forth from this place, that you would place a hedge of protection around us, as we know is there, that we may be the people of Jesus Christ, taking the message of truth out into this world and letting you out of us, that we would have within our being the very righteousness coming forth from us, not just covering us, but coming forth from us to bring the world unto the place of receiving salvation and then living life abundantly. Lord, what a world it would be if every person lived an abundant life. It would change the entire face of our planet. Father God, we ask that you would bless each and every person here to the fullness and reality of living that abundance. In the name of Jesus Christ and in the power therein, for His glory and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.